You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Last week, you heard our Dakota Political Junkies analysis of Governor Larry Roden's property tax proposal. Today, we are welcoming another analyst to the program to dig into the politics of property taxes. Patrick Lally is the editor of Sioux Falls Live. He joined me in SDPB's Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls. Sioux Falls Live, you're writing more about property taxes, specifically about the nuances of property taxes in Sioux Falls. So we talked about property taxes last week on the Dakota Political Junkies. You're going to provide a slightly different perspective. Why is this sticking with you? Is something that needs to be ferreted out?
Well, what first got my attention, and I listened to that segment, and it was very informative. There were some things in there that I'm not sure were exactly, it was old. It was history from the Janklow years and everything else. But when I hear them say, when I hear the legislators and the governor say that we have to do something about property taxes, and this time it's because of Sioux Falls and the Black Hills, it just got me curious because I live in Southeast Sioux Falls, and that's always one of the places where they say, you know, taxes are going up. That's one of the growth areas. And it's true, the valuation of my house has gone up. Well, we were stuck since 2017, as I said in the column, they've gone up. My valuation has gone up $100,000. My tax has gone up about $1,000 per year. And I look at that from 2017 and I think, that's a long time ago. Yeah, my taxes are more and I don't want to pay them, but am I revolting over that? And the answer is no. That's not something that I'm going to go and talk to my legislator about. I think there are other things, right? So I start looking at just sampling because it is very difficult to pull together data on property taxes because it is in Sioux Falls. Mm-hmm. And anywhere, it's very complicated because you immediately have three entities that are not the state, which are the county, the city, and the school district. Mm-hmm. And of those, the school district takes the biggest chunk because they've got no other way to fund, right?
And just for people who don't live in Sioux Falls,
yes,
just because you live in Sioux Falls doesn't mean you're in the Sioux Falls School District. It doesn't mean you're in Minnehaha County. You could live. There's different examples.
Yep. And I write about that in the column. And I think it is very instructive because people don't know necessarily where they live. I mean, people move here.
That's your tweet of the day. People don't know necessarily where they live. Come on.
Well, yes, it's shocking. People move to Sioux Falls and don't realize they moved into Lincoln County. Okay. And they got to drive to Canton to get their license plates or whatever. But you can live in Lincoln County, Harrisburg School District, and the city of Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
You can live in the city of Sioux Falls, the Brandon School District, and Minnehaha County. I mean, there's all these different combinations. T area, you can live in Sioux Falls, T area, and Lincoln County. And all of those different entities have a different demand on your property taxes. Mm-hmm. And it's all based on the mill levy, which gets very confusing, but that is just, all that means is every $1 per $1,000. That's the mill levy. But what happens is if you have a school district like Harrisburg, for instance, which is growing like crazy, or T area, which is growing like crazy, even Lenox, these suburban school districts where they're just expanding, their total property goes up, the value of their property, sure. But if you're Harrisburg, you've had to build multiple schools in a short period of time. The demands on the property taxes are going to be much higher. And as I write in the column, what do you expect them to do? Build Quonset huts? Like, they're building a future education system. The demand on your property taxes is right now, but you're paying for something for 30, 40 years. And that can be hard. I get that's a pressure on your taxes. But if that's the problem, if that's where the pressure is coming from, that's not a tax revolt.
Right.
That's something different. And I guess my real issue here is when the state gets involved, and why I wrote the column is that they are imposing from peer something that may not work for everybody in Sioux Falls. And so you've got a problem, but what you're doing is coming in and just blanket trying to change something that I think is going to cause more problems than it's ever going to solve. It's going to cause a problem for more people and the future of the community, the future of our education systems, not just Sioux Falls, but Harrisburg, all those different places. And we have these huge challenges in Sioux Falls, and this is what the legislature is concerned about. They're not solving anything for Sioux Falls with what they did, certainly what they did now, which is so tiny and piecemeal. But the governor said he's coming back with more plans. I don't know where this pressure is really coming from. And if this is the solution, I don't see it solving the problem that may exist.
Okay. What don't you like about the plans? One of the questions we have is, where's the pressure really coming from?
Yep.
We're going to talk more about that in a minute from an educational standpoint. But the governor's proposed half-penny sales tax, counties can opt in or opt out. Why don't you like that for the city of Sioux Falls, where most of your coverage is?
Well, first of all, we're over two counties. The city of Sioux Falls is in two counties, and increasing proportion of our population is in Lincoln County. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. You pay it in Lincoln County, you don't pay it in Minnehaha County, or, you know, you pay it at the grocery store. There's a Get and Go at 57th and Cliff that's on the north side of 57th Street. If you go there, you pay a half penny more than if you go across the street to the Hy-Vee. You know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense.
If one county opts in.
Right. Way around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, I think to the larger point is that over 30% of the households in the city of Sioux Falls, that's in the city limits, are not owner-occupied, which means they will get no benefit from any property tax.
Their rental.
Break. Yeah. Their rentals. And what the governor is saying is, I'll give you counties this half a penny of sales tax, but you have to apply that directly to reducing the property tax bill.
Right.
So in Sioux Falls, that roughly it was like estimated at $950 a year that my property taxes would go down, which is great. But if that happens, I'm also paying a half cent more in sales tax in a four-person and two-cat household that is which is deeply involved in the taxable economy, if you know what I'm saying. And so, probably we won't pay $957 more in sales tax, but we'll pay something. And so what am I really getting? That's an illusion. That's a shell game. That's all that is.
And it doesn't help the renters.
It doesn't help the renters, yeah. Which is a...
So Lieutenant Governor Van Huysen, when I asked him that, he said, well, it might help a renter get into a house because I've just made the house more affordable for you. You say what?
Oh, man, I would think that would be so far on the margins as to be inconsequential because that's not going to appreciably change somebody's purchasing power in terms of buying a house in the community of Sioux Falls. And the other part of that is, I won't say all of them because clearly there are a lot of renters who are not below the poverty level, but a lot of them are. So what you're doing is imposing another half cent sales tax on the people who can afford it the least to pay somebody who, according to my theory, which is, pretty theoretical right now, is people who are upset are people in upper middle class households, which are feeling the pressure. I'm not saying they aren't, but they do have a better ability to pay that than somebody who's living in a rental house just off the Whittier or in the Whittier neighborhood, let's say, or even around the colleges I've been writing a lot about the property owned by Sanford. They own 200 or so properties around their campus clustered together. That's all rental. So all of those people, none of those people are going to get a break. And the hospital system isn't going to get a break because they're not
owner-occupied. Their taxes go up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think.
But the governor's office would say, well, you have the choice. I mean, we're not coming in and telling you to do it.
No.
Don't do
not.
It. And then if you have a problem, talk to your county officials.
And
the,
I would
the
say.
The state is just offering you tools for your toolkit, Patrick.
Yep. And I think it's you're giving with one hand and taking with the other. And I don't think it's going to do anything appreciable. And it's not solving the problem. It's not
What's
really
the
solving
problem?
The problem is that school districts have demands that they have to meet.
So your problem, you're defining a different problem than what they're defining.
Yep.
And also, the problem is they're defining it is that they're getting phone calls from constituents who say, I cannot afford my property tax bill.
Yep.
The problem you're defining is that schools are underfunded.
Well, partly. And if you have a problem with your property tax bill, go to the people who are charging you the property tax.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Because let's take a pause for this educational component.
Yep.
Because you and I have talked about this extensively.
Yeah, yeah.
And the theory is a lot of people don't understand their own property tax bill until it becomes a problem for them.
Right.
you can call your director of equalization.
Which you did.
Which I did this morning. Yeah. And they walked me through everything. And I learned more in 10 minutes on the phone with them about my personal property tax bill than I've ever known in the 25 years of owning my home. So there are people there who are going to help you.
Yes.
Understand this.
And that's all online, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you are savvy, you can dig into it.
I went with a pretend I'm not savvy, yeah. And I only have 15 minutes because you were coming in.
Yeah.
No, so I think went that's with the efficiency, and I thought I need to know what it's like to make a phone call, and so right. I did. So you get these assessments in the beginning of the year. You can call and speak to and ask to speak to really the assessor, the person who came and walked outside your house. And said, and they will explain to you why they made the assessment judgment that they made. Now, I'm yes. not saying that they have time for coffee with every single person. I'm not saying that. However, if you have questions, if you have problems, and they can also walk you through and help you understand the state programs that already exist.
Yes.
So we've been talking a lot about senior citizens.
Right.
And if you are a senior citizen and you've, say you've paid off your house, and now you're looking at a tax bill that you can't afford, there are programs to help you. If you qualify.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's property tax caps, freezes for senior citizens. And that's legit.
Yeah. If you are a complete and total disabled veteran.
Yes.
There are. So some veterans qualify for a freeze in their property taxes. Owner-occupied is a 20% reduction in property taxes, which I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you are owner-occupied, you're getting
yes.
a reduction in your taxes. And you would have had to fill out paperwork to get that. So it's written on your assessment. If you look at that piece of paper, it will tell you whether mm-hmm. or not you have that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also call.
Yes.
And you can say, am I taking advantage of all the programs that already exist?
Right. And that's just the state stuff. There are other city programs.
Mm-hmm.
The city has a lot of different, not just property tax stuff, but, helping you fix up your home. And there's right. a lot of money out there for people who can't afford these things to maintain the housing stock. And people just don't take advantage of it
right.
for a lot of reasons. But if you're going to be mad about your property taxes, which you can be, you're allowed to be, find out why.
Yeah.
And that's what you did. And what did you learn about your house?
Yeah. And I learned my property taxes went up $500 since 2017, which doesn't seem to me to be my personal life, something I'm losing sleep over. That
no.
seems reasonable to me because my house has also gone up in value by quite a bit.
Yep. And I think people do kind of freak out when they see the valuations, right? So you get
that. I
think
that's key.
Yeah.
When you get that piece of paper and I bought this house for $75,000
yep.
and now someone's telling me it's worth more than $200,000,
yep.
there is something in you that goes, what? We should be like, yay,
yeah.
look at our investment.
You've built wealth.
Except if you're not, I've built wealth, but I'm not going to move because I could not afford to move anywhere else.
No, but that is.
But if I died.
Right.
And we sold the house, I would pass that inheritance on to my child. So yeah. it's part of your investment package if you're a homeowner.
And when you retire, right? I mean, right. this is how America has built generational wealth
yeah.
for generations.
Mm-hmm.
And, we all know people who have taken that generational wealth from their family farmland and cashed that in.
Sure.
And gone on to other things in their life because they weren't going to be farmers,
right?
That is generational wealth, and it's real. Now, so are taxes.
And you have to pay your fair share of taxes.
You have to. I don't.
But we're South Dakotans, so we don't pay too many taxes. We like to have a very, very low tax burden.
Right, and it comes at a time when we have just endured inflationary pressure.
Yeah.
Right. In the broader economy. So we're all paying more for things anyway.
And spoiler alert.
It's more coming. Yeah, I mean, that's just the reality.
Yeah.
I don't want to argue. And it is everything. Mm-hmm. And that existed before the tariff discussion. We all know that. And, the price of eggs are going up not because of tariffs, but because of bird flu.
So we feel a lot of pressure,
yep.
which goes back to this question, is where yep. is the pressure coming from, really?
Yep.
And one has to wonder if just all of us feeling the pressure of what it means to afford, if you have kids right now, my mm-hmm. daughter's flown and grown, so the pressures on me are much less. But when you have those pressures, that you might call your legislator.
You might. Or
and
if
you might say, my property tax bill has gone up again. Do
yeah.
something about it.
And I just don't think the state when we have tried to do this in the past, it has not worked. I know when Jean Hunoff was here on your show last week, she was talking about Janklow, and I only bring up Jean because...
amazing history lesson. Go back and listen to the Junkies podcast if you want to hear the full history lesson. She knows.
Yep, and we went through what back then was a huge tax revolt, and that's when we got the tax caps, property tax freezes. And there was a lot of pain that went with that. And now, it still exists. The county has opted out a couple of times. The school district has opted out for different things.
Of the freeze,
yeah.
Of the caps,
And now nobody says anything. I mean, there's no... There used to be a...
In Rapid City, they do.
Well, sure.
But you're talking about Sioux Falls,
yeah. In Sioux Falls, they don't. Because people are like, well, we need a jail, right? And the state's not going to pay for our jail, so how are we going to pay for a jail? And it turns out we built a great jail because it's expandable and we haven't needed to use the whole thing. So the decisions that were made back then to opt out on that have paid off, right? Or the school district had to build a new high school and some new elementary schools, and we don't have the growth pressure that the suburbs do, but it's still there. And so if you have a problem with your taxes, go to the people who are charging you the taxes, which is your school district, your county, and your city. And
are we calling them suburbs now?
I am. I call them suburbs because
send your emails to Patrick Lally at Sioux Falls Live.
when they're all overlapping like this, we have seven school districts in the city of Sioux Falls.
Right, and that was one of the questions I was going to ask you at the beginning. This is a statewide radio station. Why does the rest of the state care about a 15-minute conversation about property taxes in Sioux Falls?
They don't, maybe. I think they should, because if this is driving public policy, then they should. The other part of it is that, and the reason I wrote the column to begin with, was that the legislature is not doing things for Sioux Falls that they should do. The best example of that is the airport, and this is why everybody should care. The Sioux Falls Airport Authority has never taken money from the city or the state until last year. They took $2 million. They built a $67 million parking ramp, no public money, paid for by out of their money, no borrowing. They borrowed
not
a tiny
nothing.
Bit.
That's a nice parking ramp.
It is a beautiful parking ramp.
It would never say.
No.
I don't know the nuances of how much it costs, but I'll tell you what, that is a well-navigable, safe, and
out of the elements.
Lovely parking ramp at
it's
the
great.
Sioux Falls Airport.
It's really nice. And
didn't think that sentence would come out of my mouth. Gosh, you guys built a good ramp.
Well, and the Airport Authority is an amazing entity that has paid for their own way forever.
Oh.
They haven't borrowed money. They haven't taken public money. They've just done it. Well, now we need some serious growth. We need to go from 5 or 7 gates to 12 gates, I think is what it is, and expand the concourse and do for the future so that we have flights out of here. So because if we don't, because the demand is going up and up and up and up, because there's more people here, the prices for your flight is going to go up if there aren't more options. And you can't have more options without more gates. So the airport authority was asking for a little bit of money, like maybe $5-10 million. Just throw us a bone here on a $108 million expansion. And it was, go pound sand. Now, the city's probably going to do it.
And so the argument you're making in this column is if the state of South Dakota wants to help Sioux Falls, it should be in the areas like that of economic development and maybe not in some of these areas. In your opinion, it's not really helping.
Right. And that was the mayor's point way back. And he has recently been, not to me, but he's been more vocal about this after this last session. Well, it's like you didn't do, even the Sioux Falls legislators apparently voted against this money for the airport, which is just, I can't imagine a better economic development investment than the Sioux Falls Regional Airport and Rapid. I mean, 65% of the flights out of South Dakota come from through Sioux Falls. It's almost all of East River, which makes sense. That's where the people are. Meanwhile, the federal government is still propping up Pier and Watertown with Essential Air. That'll go away pretty soon. And so there won't be any flights out of Pier and Watertown. I can't imagine that when we're cutting everything else, we're not going to cut Essential Air funding to small towns in America. But
to be determined.
Stay
tuned.
Yeah. That's speculative on the highest level.
Yeah.
But just to the point is that we need this airport and we need it to be bigger. Every business that comes in, we're not going to get more jobs and bigger businesses coming in here if you can't fly in and out at a reasonable cost. And just think about your winter vacation to Florida or wherever. If we don't expand the airport, all of that's going up as much as it's going to go up already. And you won't have the options and the flights will be full and everything else. We're trying to get direct flights to Washington, D.C. or New York City or Houston. Can't do it without an expansion. Maybe, but not like we can if we have the expansion of the airport. Yeah. So all those things together, like you pull it all together and I get very upset about the legislature because they're not doing the things for Sioux Falls that they should. And they're doing things that I don't think really matter. And I mean, take all the social stuff out of it, just economics. I just got a press release the other day from state. This is an infrastructure funding, $104 million in infrastructure funding for probably worthy water projects and all this. I mean, how much do we spend on FreedomWorks here? For what? How about you invest that in one of the greatest economic development tools we have, which is a robust option for air travel?
That's Patrick Lally, editor and reporter with Sioux Falls Live. You can find more of his reporting online at SiouxFallsLive.com